everybody. This is DJ Young Z. You're listening to Penguin Radio. All right, well, today we have a bunch of really fun theories. I don't know how this happened, but somehow all my theories involve movies or TV shows, except for one. I'm really excited about all of them because they're all something that I'm very interested in, being movies and whatnot. All right, well, I'm DJ Young Z. This is It's Gonna Get Weird. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and I can't wait to get started. A few of our theories tie into each other today, and we're going to talk about the Flintstones, we're going to talk about Aladdin, we're going to talk about the creepy clown epidemic that's happening right now. I know, you've heard a lot about it, but you're going to hear more because there's theories about it, and they are very, very weird. Hence the reason why this show is called It's Gonna Get Weird. All right, so let's see. Let's just jump right in. Our first theory is about the Flintstones. I know we all love them. They take place allegedly in ancient times. I want to say ancient times, but no. They take place in what they tell us, the Stone Age. Now, this is where the theory ties in, is right in the beginning. It's not the Stone Age. People actually believe that the Flintstones take place right during the future, in a post-apocalyptic time. Now, you can believe whatever you want. This is what's fun about this show, is you can just listen to a bunch of crazy stuff and take in as much as you want, or don't even take any of it in at all. I don't really mind. That's what's great about Penguin Radio. All right, so the Flintstones actually takes place in the future, not the Stone Age. It might be a little interesting to grasp onto right now, but here I'll let you know what the facts are right now. So it's a great cartoon. It started in 1960. We got Fred, we got Wilma, we got Barney, we got Betty, we got the kids, Pebbles and Bam Bam. They are all great, happy families living at a certain time that we do not know exactly. Now, they all lived happily alongside dinosaurs and crazy animals and stuff. But the thing is, are these dinosaurs from our past? Because humans never really lived alongside dinosaurs, I'm sorry to tell you. But maybe they did in the future, after the world ended and we went up into space and then came back and started the Flintstones era. Okay, so what really started people thinking about this theory is the Jetsons, because they came out, there was a movie in 1987 where the Jetsons meet the Flintstones. And I thought that was really exciting and fun to learn about. And in this movie, Elroy Jetson, he makes a time machine, all right? And apparently it didn't work, and they ended up going back in time to the Flintstones. This is what everyone started saying. Maybe Elroy's time machine did work and they did go into the future. Now, I think that's awesome that people don't believe the actual stories that are happening here, but that's what most conspiracy theories consist of. So, the Jetsons, all right, they live in the sky. They live it up in space, basically, to escape the wasteland below. And maybe that was a temporary thing, and they were all just living in the sky, and they're planning on coming back to Earth later on after the Earth recovered. Kind of like Wall-E, if you haven't seen the Pixar movie. They all live in space, but then the humans come back after they can find some kind of living organism. If you haven't seen Wall-E, I mentioned, you should probably go see it, because it's actually one of my favorite Pixar movies. Anyways, back on track. The Jetsons live in the sky, and the Flintstones take place in the future after the Jetsons, and people come back, and animals apparently survived on the planet, but they were exposed to radiation, which is why there's maybe dinosaurs, maybe that's how they came. Dinosaurs got a second chance at life. They walk the Earth once again with the Flintstones and humans. Now, What they think has happened is the humans came back to Earth and realized they don't have any of the technology that they used to have, like we have now. So they created what they could do. They dealt with what they had, and they made what we see in the Flintstones in bedrock. They made a great society. They realized that they don't have the nice things they used to have, so they created everything with nature-based society and animal-based society. Like, the pig sits under the sink as a garbage disposal. That one was a fun one. And humans pedal their cars instead of actual cars running as machines. A bird's beak plays records. That one was cool. And they also have dinosaur-powered factories. So they basically, it's kind of sad in a way to see that they're trying to see and deal with what once was in a way. So they're kind of coping. It's basically just people trying to rebuild what they used to be. And some other things that pointed to everyone doing, like, believing that the Flintstones is actually taking place in the future, not the past and Stone Age, is the fact that they celebrate Christmas. And there was a couple Christmas episodes, even though in the Stone Age that took place before Christ. So that's one thing. Another thing is that they have a really sophisticated economy where they use paper money, and they would go to the bank. They would even have to fill out deposit slips with a chisel and on a rock. And seems like if this took place in the past, they would use like the barter system where you would trade goods for other goods. But no, they have a pretty complicated banking system if you do watch a lot of Flintstones, like I just did. And I saw a lot of interesting ways they used economic needs and like using the economy. They did that. So how would they, if this took place in the past, how would they already know how to do that? But they do know how to do that because it's the future and they already lived through what we know today. Is the Flintstones really us in the future just trying to rebuild the past? Maybe. It does kind of make a little bit of sense, but maybe it was just a lot of inconsistencies with the writing. I don't want to say that because the Flintstones is great the way it is. The one thing that I found interesting, like, they did use rocks as money, but they, in some of the episodes and some of the movies, but they also did, there was some pictures of like paper money that they were using. But if they had paper money, how come they had to chisel out things on rocks for deposit slips like they did in a few episodes where they went to the bank and filled out deposit slips? It's all just a theory. That's why this is all conspiracy theories. So you can believe what you want, but I believe almost all these theories, and I think this one is a great one. So, since this one takes place in the past, is there any other theories or any other shows that we know and love as one thing that really isn't? Yes, there is. The next one is Aladdin. It's very, very similar to this one about the Flintstones, but Aladdin actually takes place in the future as well. Now, maybe the Flintstones and Aladdin don't have anything to do with each other. Maybe one is wrong, the other one's right. I'm not gonna sit here and try to figure out which one's wrong and right. I think they're both right. But the thing is, since it is the Flintstones and they did take place after the Jetsons, maybe it goes Aladdin, Jetsons, Flintstones in that order. But right here it says that Aladdin doesn't add up because of something the genie said. So let's go over what Aladdin is. Okay, so if you don't know what Aladdin is, I'm sorry, you should know. But it is basically about a boy who finds a magic lamp and then gets three wishes by a genie. Alright, so it is believed that this movie does not in fact take place in an ancient Arabian location, but it is actually in a post-apocalyptic world where only Arabic culture survived. None of the other cultures did, unfortunately. Now, if it is in a post-apocalyptic world, it could make sense because they do a lot of things that we wouldn't do in our society today. We might have done them in the past, but I could see it happening in a world that burned down and suffered and then came back strong. Okay, so what really happened was at one point in the movie, the genie called Aladdin's clothes so third century. So he was just making a funny remark about Aladdin's clothes being like old. And this was kind of funny. He was just throwing shade at Aladdin, calling him so third century. Now, if you know any of the lines the genie says, we do know that the genie's been in his lamp for 10,000 years because he comes out. The first line he says is 10,000 years. So he wouldn't know what people are wearing in the third century if he was in there for 10,000 years. I'll break it down. So unless the genie went into the lamp in the third century exactly where he found out that Aladdin's clothes looked third century-esque, and was released the year, he would have been released in the year 10,300 AD, which means Aladdin is now in the future, because we're only in 2016, we're not in 10,300, which seems like it would be a great time, according to Aladdin's world. But, I don't know, it kind of makes sense if it was. Yeah, it could be, it means that he took place in the past, in the future. And if it was in the past, he could have been there in 10 years and for 10,000 years and know that his clothes were 3rd century because he didn't exist in the 3rd century. Excuse me. He didn't exist in the 3rd century. So, the part that kind of just makes this theory a lot of crazy conspiracy talk is the fact that people think it could be plausible being in the future is the fact that they had flying carpets and talking parrots, and maybe the parrot was a mechanical parrot or a robot parrot that can actually talk to humans and have an actual logical conversation with humans. And then there's something about the carpet, the magic carpet, they got that in the future. If they have that in the future, that's great. But sometimes you just gotta believe in the magic of Disney and believe that there is magic. Because the fact that that's one of the only examples of this theory being plausible is kind of a stretch. Because, I don't know, like robot parrots and magic carpets in the year 10,300 is kind of a stretch. Another thing that does make a little more sense than the robot parrots is the genie, some of his references throughout the movie. He did do a reference for Jack Nicholson and Groucho Marx. So he could have been around in his little lamp and heard all these Jack Nicholson remarks and then added it into his conversations with Aladdin. So that is proof that the genie knows what's up. He knows that Aladdin is in the future. We're all in the future. This is not the past. This is not ancient Arabian times. This is years and years into the future. Just like the Flintstones. Now, one thing I want to add to the Flintstones theory is that that's also a Mandela effect. If you haven't listened to this show, It's Gonna Get Weird before, I have talked about the Mandela effect before, which is one of the most popular conspiracy theories of all time, in my opinion. Is my favorite conspiracy theory of all time is the Mandela effect, and that's the idea that people are seeing things and knowing things for sure as one thing, and then or later on finding out that they're completely wrong, just as a small example. And the Flintstones is what people believe is a Mandela effect because they thought it was Flintstones, not Flintstones with a T. but I'm pretty sure that one can be debunked because a flint stone, I'm pretty sure it is a rock that you can start fire with. If I am wrong, I'm sorry, but it is Flintstones, and I'm pretty sure I've known it being the Flintstones this whole time, but some people are like, ooh, that's a Mandela effect, I thought it was Flintstones, but that was just one quick little Mandela effect for you today. I love finding those, there's always new ones, and that always gets me excited, but that's our first theory, is that a lot of these shows are lying to us about the times, and that the Flintstones actually takes place in post-apocalyptic world, so does Aladdin. Now, since we are talking about genies and the genie calling Aladdin's clothes so 3rd century, and the genie basically giving up the secret of Disney, showing us what our future could be, I'm gonna take a break and I'll be back very quickly. You're listening to Penguin Radio. This next song goes out to the genie, because it is Genie in a Bottle by Miss Christina Aguilera, and I love her. Thanks for listening. Gonna get weird with me and DJ Young Z. Alright, so we just covered some fun theories, in my opinion, about the Flintstones and Aladdin, how they take place actually in the future in a post-apocalyptic world and not in the past like we all were forced to believe by Disney. Now, this next theory is kind of, it can be considered kind of a dark topic because it is happening right now and it is scaring the lives of many, many people all around the world recently. It used to just be something in America, but now it's everywhere. And that's it's some theories about these killer clowns happening. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about the clowns, but I'm sure you've heard about it because it's been in the top of the news recently. The White House has even addressed these clowns. Check, and if you really want to read about it, I know that there's a story coming out on the Dominican Beat. The Dominican Beat is basically our school newspaper, and we have a lot of great stories on there almost every day they come out. I personally know a lot of the people and the writers at the Beat, and I love a lot of the stories that come out, so you should definitely tune in and check that out. And there's a new story about the Killer Clowns coming out soon that I really like, so you should read up on that one. So basically, on these creepy clowns, the main thing that has been surfacing, the first thing that happened was it started in Greenville, South Carolina, right? Now, a lot of us don't know where that is. I don't, but it was scary, and now it's all over the news because some kids told their moms that they live in an apartment complex, and the moms reported that their kids were saying that clowns were hiding in the woods across the street, luring them in with, they had green lasers, and they were luring them in with a lot of money, and they were luring them in with candy. And these kids are smart. They obviously didn't go in with these creepy clowns, try to take all the clowns' money, and they just told their moms, and the moms went and checked it out, and they said when they tried to get the clowns' attention, they just ran off. So then they called the police, they got involved, and they couldn't find anything, no traces of clown, clown memorabilia, like clown costume stuff. They didn't find anything, and they just gave a warning to the complex to make sure everyone stays inside and doesn't go out towards the woods. So that was the first alert on these crazy creepy clowns. And since that happened in August, I think it was the end of August, maybe beginning of September, since then there had been clown sightings in 20 states, which is a lot of clown sightings within such a short amount of time. It's only been about a month or two in 20 states, and now it's happening abroad. Within the most recent time, about a week, there's been some in the UK and some in Canada. Even in Sweden was the most scariest one. It's been headlining on big news stations. It's been a big deal. And yes, the White House did even address it. What happened with the White House was the White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said this quote. He said, "This is something that I have read about in news coverage. Obviously, this is a situation that local law enforcement authorities take quite seriously, and they should carefully and thoroughly review the perceived threats to the safety of the community." Like, all right, sure. He basically said that law enforcement is taking care of it. He also said that he's positive that Obama doesn't really know about it, and he's not gonna worry about it right now. He said he will talk to the CIA, which is kind of scary to bring the CIA involved into all this, but it's something that's happening, and it's scaring a lot of people. Like, I was scared in the beginning, but now I think it's kind of getting blown out of proportion, because nobody has been harmed by any of these clowns in the US, like, at all. I don't think anybody has been harmed, except one teenager was stabbed in the shoulder by a clown in Sweden. So there was one, but there's been hundreds of sightings and only one injury has happened. Like, my heart goes out to this stabbed victim in Sweden, of course, but I feel like it's all a big hoax, and these clowns are really just out here scaring people and chasing people down just for fun. I hate to say it, but that's one thing. Now, it's kind of sad, because real clowns are really mad about this, and they are afraid their jobs are in danger. Professional clowns, of course, they have started a whole thing. They started oh my god, what is it? They started a Clowns Lives Matter walk, and that was awful. I mean, it wasn't awful, but I understand where they're coming from because they feel like their jobs are in jeopardy, but did they really have to go out and name it that? So that was one thing that was happening, but that's over with. Target was a big one that happened within this week as well. They pulled all clown costumes from the shelves. They're not selling them anymore. A lot of companies aren't selling them. And I've even heard some high schools are not letting students come to school in costumes as clowns or masks, which is understandable with the masks things because that's a distraction. Anyway, there's hundreds of clown videos online, but in my opinion, they all seem fake. I go through Instagram and I probably see like two or three clown videos every time I go through it, and all these clown videos seem perfect. And if they are really just running into a clown randomly, how are they perfectly catching all these creepy clowns? It doesn't add up. And so here comes all the theories about it. There's a lot of weird conspiracy theories about these clowns. I have three. One of them is kind of a lot to talk about. But this first one involves politics, and I don't really like talking about politics very much. But this one I just had to. The only thing I gotta say is I encourage you to vote at this point. Go send in your ballots. We need to really just vote if we want something to happen here. But anyways, this theory is that Donald Trump started the clowns, and he is orchestrating the whole thing. And I thought that was funny, and that was kind of a stretch to go from creepy clowns to Donald Trump, biggest clown of all. And this is what happened. So his whole campaign is based on fear. You know, he's telling people everyone has got to be afraid of ISIS, or everyone's got to be afraid of the economy. And so now he would start an epidemic of creepy clowns and get everyone scared, and then he would address it and fix it, and everything would be solved and everything would be great. Now he hasn't addressed them yet, but if he does, that means he orchestrated the whole thing. And I don't know, it could make sense, because the top three fears of American people is clowns, is in the top three, so he probably just picked that because it is one of the most popular fears out there. Now, he hasn't addressed it, so that is kind of a stretch, but that's just one thing that people are believing these clowns are coming from. The most believable reason for these clowns, the most believable theory, might I add, it's a theory. These are all theories. None of them are set in stone true. But the most believable one, in my opinion, is that it's a publicity stunt for a new movie. Now, I'm sure you've heard of the movie It. It came out in the 1990s. It was a big creepy clown movie where there was a clown. They called it It, and it would terrorize everyone, get children to come in storm drains. And it's a scary movie. It scared me a lot. I didn't like it, but that's just me. I don't like scary movies. Anyway. They are making a remake for it, and it's coming out next year. So maybe the movie studio planned out to do some killer clown sightings to get everybody hyped about the new movie that's coming out, but it got out of hand, and then they backed off and said, oh, nope, that wasn't us, that wasn't our doing, let's be quiet about this whole creepy clown thing. Now, that does make a lot of sense. I know that there's been a lot of crazy publicity stunts made for movies in the past. And if they were to plan out this whole killer clown thing to get everyone excited, because there's the new It movie coming out next year. Oh, I saw a crazy clown. Great. That's cool and all, but then it turned into this whole epidemic, and now everyone's afraid of clowns, and now Target won't even carry a clown costume. And I bet if I were to see a clown in the street, even though I don't believe it, I'm still gonna go the other way, not go anywhere near it. So it makes a lot of sense because of the publicity stunts. One of the biggest publicity stunts that I personally remember was for the Blair Witch Project. The director made it seem like it was a true story by saying the three main actors were all missing, and they were assumed dead. They even put missing posters for them around the Sundance Film Festival to make it seem like this is a real deal. Blair Witch Project, oh, it's real, these people are missing. None of the main actors would go out in public for a while. And this is probably one of the biggest hoaxes in movie history. So could the clowns be the same thing? I don't know. I think it is. Because if it is, this is probably the next biggest hoax in movie history. And was it orchestrated by the movie studio? And did they back out of this stunt because they didn't want to take credit for this weird, really, really creepy hoax? Now, I think that is the most believable one. And the next one, I'm just going to talk a little bit about it and briefly go over it because it is kind of a touchy subject and I don't like it, but I thought I should let you know. The last theory is that these clowns are part of a secret cult, and it is believed it could be a cult that worships a serial killer that was known in the early 70s. His name was John Wayne Gacy, and he was a guy who he would throw a lot of parties in his neighborhood, and he would dress up like a clown for his neighborhood parties, which is how he got his nickname, the Killer Clown. But what he would do when people weren't paying attention to him as this happy little clown guy who threw neighborhood parties, he would actually lure people into his home, and he would kill little boys. He actually ended up killing 33 young boys by luring them into his house and offering candy and stuff. When they went into his house, they found a bunch of bodies in his crawl space. And the story gets very, very dark and creepy, but people are also tying all these clown sightings to that because people think it could be a creepy little cult, clown people starting to show the world this crazy awful man's work. Now, the whole time he says he wasn't guilty for it until the day he died and he was executed. But maybe it is a cult, but then other people have been attaching onto it and just for fun, hey, I'm gonna go dress up like a clown and scare some people. That could be the case, or it couldn't be. But are these clowns part of a cult that worship Gacy, or is it a publicity stunt, or is it orchestrated by the biggest clown of all, Donald Trump? I'll leave that up to you to decide. I personally really am leaning towards the publicity stunt thing because there is a new It movie coming out, and to get people hyped for an It movie, you might want to scare some people with some clown stuff. Seems like a good idea to me. Now, these are theories, and the clown thing is a real thing that is happening right now. So you can believe whatever you want. I know I say this a lot, but I just like you guys to know that these are rumors. These aren't like actual facts. Okay, these are just rumors, and they're just a lot of fun, and I have a lot of fun learning about them, and I'm glad I get to share them all with you. Alright, so moving on from the clowns, the creepy clowns, I don't like them, I don't trust them, I don't believe it. Moving on from that is this next theory. It's also kind of a dark theory. It's about Willy Wonka. Alright, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The theory goes that he's actually crazy, and he's a crazy person, just like all these clowns. Anyway, the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, if you haven't heard, is mostly known for the movies. There was two movies, and this theory is mostly based on the first one, the original. And it's about a chocolatier, and he has a giant chocolate factory, and then he invites some kids in with golden tickets to tour his factory, and then one kid at the end ends up getting the keys to the factory and gets to run the factory for the rest of his life. Anyway, so the theory is that he's actually crazy, and the secret ingredient that he's always so secretive about to his chocolate or his candies isn't actually the cocoa bean from the crazy town where the Oompa Loompas come from. No, it's actually children. Yep. It gets pretty dark, but yeah, everyone believes that the secret ingredient is children, and this one actually does have some pretty interesting evidence that does make it seem real. So I'll just break it down for you right now. All right, so the first main thing that you notice in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is that he's always very, very secretive about his candy, about his factory. He would never let reporters in, or he would never let workers know anything about his recipes. I remember in the second one, he had to fire all his workers because everyone kept giving up the secret. Everyone kept trying to get it out of them, and trying to let people know, ooh, this is how Wonka does it. And he didn't want anyone to know how he does it, for a reason. That's because he is getting children to come to his factory, and then he is killing them off and putting it in their chocolate. Anyway, what they see in the movie is that he would lure kids into his factory, like he did with the golden tickets. That was one of the biggest ones. And then he would use the kids as a secret ingredient for his candy. So the conspiracy theorists that I read about all the time, they say that where he sparked his idea is from gelatin. So gelatin might be where it sparked the idea in Wonka's brain that, ooh, kids. Because gelatin, if you don't know, I'm sorry to let you know, that gelatin is actually made from animal bones, and they grind down animal bones, and what is made out of your Jell-O that you get at the store is actually animal bones. Sorry. That's why vegans don't like gelatin. So he decided, ooh, gelatin, and it sparked the idea, hey, maybe I should use human bones, because he is actually crazy and kind of twisted. Another thing that would add to his idea that he is a crazy guy and he's kind of not all the way there is that nothing would bother him at all. Nothing would bother Willy Wonka. A lot of crazy things would happen throughout that tour, the first tour that he gave, and he would just look aloof AF. He would not care. He would just look the other way whenever something crazy was happening. He did not care. Almost like he knew it was going to happen and he wanted it to happen. So that kind of makes you a little uneasy when children are in danger right in front of his face and he isn't giving a single fadoodle about it. It doesn't add up as the happy little chocolate guy that he is. Now, what happened was, so the first kid, Augustus Gloop, he fell in the chocolate fountain, the chocolate river, and everyone's like, ooh, this chocolate river, the tubes that suck up all the chocolate, how are they the perfect size for this kid, Augustus, to get sucked up in? Because that's what happened. He got sucked up into the chocolate factory, chocolate mover, and he ended up going away. So these tubes were a perfect size for him. So that's where, I don't know, everyone's like, oop. Mr. Wonka knew that was going to happen. Mr. Wonka knew that he had to make them that size to get all the kids to get in the chocolate and suck them all up and go away. And he says that's how he mixes all his chocolate is the river, but that seems like how he could mix up a lot of kid bones and stuff as well. I'm sorry to be graphic, but that's what this theory is graphic. Another thing that people are also noticing is the boat that comes in the chocolate river that takes everybody away to the next part of the tour. The second movie, it was a seahorse boat. This boat had exactly the perfect amount of seats for only the rest of the kids and their parents. There wasn't any room if Augustus and his mom were left. So how did he know that his mom and Augustus wouldn't make the boat voyage? Because he planned it all out, and he knew that Augustus would be the first one to add to his batch of candy. Now, the main reasoning for this theory comes from the book. So I know not like most people know Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory as the movies, but yep, there is a book. I didn't know that either. And then I read about this in an article. And before the movies happened, there was the book, and they had a first draft and then the final draft. And in this first draft, it had a sixth kid, because there was originally five. There was Mike TV, there was Veruca Salt, there was Gustus, and then Charlie, and then there was the one that liked bubblegum. And in the first draft of these books, there was another one, and her name was Miranda Piker. But her story was cut from the movies and the final drafts of the book, probably because it was too creepy, and it basically gives away the fact that Willy Wonka was made to be a creepy man who actually uses children for his secret recipe for his candy. Now, the conclusion of her chapter, the chapter was called Spotty Powder, if you want to know. The girl and her father take a little fall down a chute to a powder grinding machine, and her mom accuses Wonka of trying to kill them. So the book says, I got it right here, and it starts with Miranda's mother speaking. She says, "In 2 minutes, my darling Miranda will come pouring out of one of those dreadful pipes, and so will my husband." And Mr. Wonka, he says, "Of course," said Mr. Wonka. "That's part of the recipe." He just said, "That's part of the recipe." So that's what it is. Mr. Wonka is actually a crazy guy who puts children in his candy, because children are great. And that's what you have it. Willy Wonka's actually a serial killer. And he, like, another thing people also say is, like, everyone thinks that Willy Wonka actually hates children and he doesn't like them, so he actually puts them in the candy on purpose. He doesn't use actual people. He uses children for a reason, because he doesn't like them. And you can see kind of he does kind of have a little bit of a disgust towards a lot of the children in the movie, if you really look at it. And that's the theory of Mr. Wonka being a serial killer. I don't know, after hearing this theory, I'll probably never look at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory the same ever again. But that's what's so fun about conspiracy theories, that you never know what you're looking at anymore. I have a lot of fun with it. And I would just like to take a second to say, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and I am DJ Young Z. And real quick, it's great to let everybody know that you can listen to everybody's show in podcast form. I personally like doing it because a lot of the time when some of my friends' shows are going on, I'm in class or I have other things to do, so I'll go back to Penguin Radio and I'll listen to them in podcast form. We have a lot of great shows this semester. There's a great one called The Eighth Dwarf. It's about Disney, with a lot of anything you want to know about Disney. I love listening to hers. There's a lot of gossip shows if you really want to learn about what's happening today in Hollywood. And we also got some sports shows and gaming shows you can listen to. It's endless possibilities here at Penguin Radio. You can basically find anything you want. And that is the spiel on Penguin Radio. The next theory I am going to talk about is a lot of fun because it is a Disney theory. Shout out to DJ Breezy who talks about Disney shows. Anyway, this theory is about Disney princesses. I love all the Disney princesses out there. They're all so great. So this is one thing about them. So this one is actually really, really cool because it makes a whole lot of sense. And I love the theories that make a lot of sense, because a lot of these theories don't make sense, and yet I still believe all of them. But this one's about Beauty and the Beast, and they all start the same. Every single Disney princess movie all start with the single parent, there's the evil villain, and then there's the princess. So basically, this is all not true. And all these Disney princesses started evolving after Beauty and the Beast happened. So what happened is Belle, she was a little bit more progressive than the other princesses were, and that came, the other princesses that were before her. This is mostly because of the Prince Charming aspect of the Beauty and the Beast story. So everyone knows, ooh, in the beginning, all the Disney princesses, they have their Prince Charming, and then she's the little princess, and then she goes and gets into trouble, and then she finds Prince Charming, and then they live happily ever after. And it's a lot of the same story in the beginning. This theory is a little different, because you think, oh, Prince Charming and Beauty and the Beast, of course everybody thinks it's the Beast. Negative. That is wrong. It is not the Beast. Everybody labels the Beast as Prince Charming, and Gaston is the villain, right? Gaston is the guy who wanted to steal Belle's heart and live happily ever after, even if it did mean killing the Beast twice, might I add. And Gaston was depicted just how the princes were depicted in the past Disney princess movies. He's handsome, he's wealthy and important in the village, and everybody loves him for some reason. I don't know why everybody loves him in Belle's village, but they do. So far he's off to a great start as being one of the princes in the movies. But aside from being a real dirtbag, he never really did anything wrong, and he was just trying to be the princess's prince. But he didn't do so hot. While Gaston, he was just trying to do what he thought he was supposed to do, which was marry the most beautiful girl in town and live happily ever after, right? Well, that didn't happen for poor Gaston. The next thing that happened was he heard that she was taken up by a beast in a castle, and he got the whole town rallied up to go save her, which is what it seems like would happen with a prince in earlier Disney movies, was princess would be in trouble, so he would go and take everyone and save her from being held captive, being held prisoner by a beast. But unlike the other princesses, Belle didn't want to be saved, and she wanted to do her own thing and stay with the Beast, who ended up being great. One thing is, the Beast is also Prince Adam, but no one knew that in the movie. They actually gave him a name for the game and for the musical. They just called him the Beast throughout the entire movie, which I thought was kind of funny, because he didn't even have a name. They just call him the Beast, but he's Prince Adam. So what happened was, all the princesses before Belle, I keep saying just all the princesses, but it's the Little Mermaid, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty, and Snow White. That goes in order from the most recent to Belle to the first princess ever, which was Snow White. They all needed a man to move on, but none of the princesses after Belle needed a man. They did end up with men, but it wasn't for the reasoning for the Little Mermaid, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty, and Snow White, just because for no reason. So they think that this is when Disney decided to break away, and Gaston's death was symbolic to the end of Disney's Prince Charming Saves the Princess era. And it does make a lot of sense to me that the princesses after, because a lot of the princesses after Belle was Mulan, Jasmine, and Pocahontas, and they all had reasons to like the men in their life. But it wasn't the same as the first princesses, which was like the Little Mermaid, who fell in love with Prince Eric for practically no reason. She just found him when she washed up on the ocean sand and fell in love with him almost immediately, it seemed. So now, even with, with Frozen, the antagonist as kind of a handsome guy, just like they did with Gaston. Gaston was handsome, but he ended up being not Prince Charming, and he ended up just going down and dying in the end. Which is what happened in Frozen, was the prince, he was great, and we all thought he was awesome. Princess Anna, go for him. And then he ended up just betraying her. And that was also a theme with all the other villains. Now, a lot of the other villains look like actual villains, like Yzma and the Emperor's New Groove, and Ursula in The Little Mermaid, of course. She's a scary lady. Now, this one, it does make a lot of sense, and it does seem pretty believable theory that, yeah, Gaston, he was supposed to be the prince, but they killed him off, and that was symbolic to the end of Disney's little era they had there, which I really, really liked. And aside from it all being a theory, this theory does make a lot of sense. Not all theories have to make sense, but I'm glad that this one does. Because it's Disney, and Disney is a shady place. Alright, so I'm going to take a quick break. You're listening to Penguin Radio. I'm DJ Young Z, and I'll be right back. I'm DJ Young Z, and we're wrapping up our show right now. It was a great show. We talked about Willy Wonka actually being a serial killer, and we talked about the creepy clown epidemic that's happening, and a bunch of fun theories regarding all that craziness. We also talked about Aladdin and the Flintstones actually taking place in the future, not the past. And if you missed any of those things and tuned in a little late, you can always come back and listen to all the shows in podcast form. Some things happening at Dominican that are very exciting is next Wednesday we have Soul Candy. I personally love Soul Candy, and I know a lot of people that are involved in it and that will be performing this year. And it's going to be a great show every year. Soul Candy always has a great turnout, so I recommend coming by. It's open to everybody. It showcases a lot of the talent we have here at Dominican, and it's one of the biggest talent shows we have at Dominican. Another thing, if you are a sophomore, there is a sophomore event happening tomorrow. It is Glow in the Dark, Capture the Flag. It'll be a lot of fun. There will be free pizza, so when there's free food, you definitely gotta show up. I know that you don't have to be a sophomore to come and play Capture the Flag. And you can just come show up and watch if you really want to. Grab a slice of pizza, have some fun, and talk about Dominican stuff. So that's basically what's happening here at Dominican this week and next week. And I hope you had a great time here at It's Gonna Get Weird at radio.dominican.edu. Up next, we got our travel show, and I hope you have a great time. Thanks for listening.